Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We're coming to you live from Dover, the capital of Delaware.
Wait, what? Okay. No, we're back in London.
No, we're not in Dover.
That's an excellent joke, Brady, pretending that we're somewhere that we aren't.
Yeah.
No, we're actually in London on New Year's Day. No, we're in Bristol. I've come up to visit you.
We're still in Bristol.
That's underneath, where it is.
Underneath the Christmas tree. Still here with our pile of Christmas cards sent in from all over the world. But I did promise that I was going to show you for the first time in real life the Golden Hot Stopper. I haven't shown it to you, have I?
I have not seen it in real life. Right. I've only seen the video.
All right, I'm going to get it.
Okay.
I might switch that main light on so we've got maximum sparkle.
Yeah, you want to have maximum sparkles.
All right, I'm going to get the light switch.
This is very exciting.
You ready?
I don't know if I can ever be ready.
Here it comes.
Oh, wow. This pillow is fantastic.
It smells of lavender too, just for the record.
I can confirm that it does smell of lavender, this pillow. Wow.
You can hold it.
Ooh, it's way weightier than I would have thought.
It's solid gold.
I know it's solid gold, but still, Hot Stoppers, unless they are 6-7 feet tall, like I don't think of them as very heavy objects.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Forged in Timnas.
It looks great in person.
Yeah.
It really does.
Nice.
I almost feel like I'm gunking it up by touching it.
You are. I'll be sterilizing it later.
Yeah, it needs to be cleaned to remove the fingerprints. Yeah. But it looks great. This is so nice.
I mean, that's going to be a centerpiece of the HI Museum, clearly, isn't it? Like, it's going to be in the center of the room.
Yeah.
Spotlights coming down on it.
So nice. Very cool. And the pillow, Brady.
The pillow.
I know. I can never say enough about how much this pillow acts as a magnification of the beauty and magnificence of the Hot Stopper.
It does. It makes it far more regal.
It really does.
There we go. All right.
Thank you for showing it to me.
That's all right. So it's a new year, but let's continue with our Christmas cards and messages from Tim's. We've got knives everywhere that we're using to cut open these envelopes. It's been a frenzy of knives and paper, and we're surrounded by stamps and envelopes. It's like a mail sorting office here.
Yeah, and Christmas hot chocolate.
I've introduced Gray to the joys of Ovaltine. I didn't think you'd like it. You got here and I said, oh, do you want a coffee? And you said, no, I don't feel like a coffee. I'll have a tea. And then I decided to make myself an Ovaltine. And I said, do you want one of these, Gray? Like, just to be polite. And you were like, you know what? I will. And you had one. And then later on, we came home. And then unsolicited, you said, I could go another one of those Ovaltines.
If they feel very appropriately holiday.
They are.
It's a good little holiday drink to have while we go through these
super,
cards.
Super Christmassy. Not very Fitatron, but...
Yeah, but the holidays are opposed to Fitatron.
So we've had a number of questions and postcards sent in by people who have like sent in repeat cards. They've been like, they're trying to make a joke by sending in loads. But there's no rules against that.
Yeah, no. It's not like they're stuffing the ballot box.
Nah. So this is one person whose name I don't have here, but they sent in lots of questions. But some of them are quite good. I liked this one. If the other person, so presumably this is between you and I, if the other person called you and said, I need your help to hide a body, what would you each think had happened?
What do you think had happened?
So if I phone you and said, great, I need your help to hide a body.
I mean, obviously someone wouldn't have treated you with the respect that you deserve. That's what I would assume.
Yeah. Like, I don't really know how we should answer that or discuss it, but I do think it's a really fun question to, like, it's probably more not of a podcast question, but it is a fun question. Yeah. The other person just said, I need your help hiding a body. Like, what do you straight away start thinking happened? I kind of feel like if you did get yourself into a tangle and had, like, a body to dispose of, which is a pretty serious tangle, to be fair, I'm not sure you'd call me. I'm not sure I'd be your guy.
I mean, why would you expand the circle of people who know?
You're already thinking it through. Why would I have expanded? I mean, why would I expand? Another question asked by the same person. What extinct animal would you de-extinct right now if you could?
Okay.
Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Really?
Oh, imagine one of those bad boys walking around.
I mean, are we de-extincting it in Jurassic Park? Or is it just like running free in the world?
Well, I'm not like advocating releasing it into places where it's going to cause problems, but I just want to see what they look like and smell like and sound like. And like, that's just got maximum wowness.
Well, again, always with these questions, what are the parameters? Do a bunch of T-Rexes just appear dispersed across the world? That seems like a bad idea. Do we get one in a zoo? That's a pretty awesome idea.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking it more as a one-off science project. You're thinking that...
But they're saying de-extinct it. Sounds a bit like we're reintroducing it to the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If it was still going to exist in the world, I would want something like a woolly mammoth.
Yeah.
Like, I think a pack of woolly mammoths would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I figure that's mostly Canada's problem. Like, you could just go up there and see what they look like on a nature preserve. Something along those lines.
All right. Yeah, you can have mammoths.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But if it was just going to be one in a zoo, I think I agree with you. Like, T-Rex.
And that is the dinosaur you'd go for? You wouldn't go for like a Brachiosaur or Triceratops?
It's King of the Dinosaurs.
King of the Dinosaurs.
Like, you know, you gotta pay respect to the crown.
Was T-Rex the King of the Dinosaurs at the time, or have we kind of kingified it in our modern culture, or was it like top dog?
King is a constructed office, and we have constructed it around the T-Rex.
Now, this one that you've just opened, I put on the pile, especially for you. I thought you would appreciate the efficiency of this contribution.
I mean, it looks all business, this envelope. This looks like something that a computer would print out in the 1950s.
Yeah, it looks like a check or a bill or something, doesn't it? And have a look at the card and what's on the back of it.
Oh, wow. Okay, here we go. So this is from Robert in Virginia. Okay, so it's a card that lets you tick 10 boxes for each of the things that you want it to be. So check one, and they check the box labeled dear versus hi or to whom it may concern. So it's dear Brady and Gray, box two, how are you, they've checked, and it keeps going through.
So it's like, what's it called? What does it say on the other side? Is it the process letter, or it's kind
of... The process letter, stationary for the busy person.
So it's like, it's the most impersonal way you could possibly send someone a letter with just a bunch of tick boxes and pro forma fields and things like that.
You know, when you get a form letter, it has that form letter feel.
Yeah.
But this is a form letter that lets you see all the other possibilities for each of the form, which makes it even less personal.
It kind of wears its form letterness on a sleeve. This is obviously like a joke thing that you buy in a shop and then you send to people. So, yeah.
Okay.
I thought you'd appreciate the efficiency of it.
And at the bottom they said, P.S., I found a stack of these and thought you would like it. And the answer is correct. I do like it.
All right. So the plan is, hopefully, with some of these cards and notes and things that we've been sharing over the course of the 12 days of Hello Internet, that some of these will find their way onto our podcast postcards website, where I've been uploading ballots for the last couple of years. So we'll include links and stuff, and you can go and check out that site and have a look at some stuff. All right. This is another one that looks like maybe it's a card that is being sent for Christmas to people by like a couple. There's a picture of this couple and they have like photoshopped Santa hats on. So they're obviously the couple. Eric and Rajni. Hi, Brady and Gray. What do you think of the Norwegian municipality shields? I think they're great and show how limitations on colors and simplicity breeds greatness. There are a number of rules for them, and the two most important being, one, only use two colors, and two, only having one motif, which can be repeated. There is a bit.ly/Norwegian shields, or you can find them another way, but he's created a bit.ly.
Whoa. Okay, I pulled up the link.
Hmm.
I'll let you just quickly scroll up and down here. There is an overwhelming number of these shields.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Gosh. They are good.
I mean, there must be 100 on here. There's just way too many to review, and some of them do not look so great. Some of them do. It's very hard to make a general statement about them, but I like at least that there are rules for how the municipalities are supposed to design their shields.
Yeah.
I guess I'm giving a +1 to rules is the way I'm going to vote on this one.
Okay.
Oh, there's one that has a beehive. I like that one.
Oh, who's that for? Who are they?
Lesebo? I'm not quite sure how to say it, but they've got a beehive on there. It caught my eye.
All right. Well, maybe one day we'll have a closer look at the Norway shields. I like that at the end here, Erik and Rajni say, if anything, they're better than the Swedish shields, and they have a link to the Swedish shields. So I don't want to start like a whole, you know, Sweden versus Norway.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So these are the Swedish shields that I'm looking at that I pulled up on that link because I only saw the one Okay, so now give me this back.
Oh, hang on. Oh, dear.
No, this is...
The Norway one's at the top. Oh, you made a right mess of it.
No, but okay. Oh. But now we might contribute to a rival.
So just to clarify, people, Gray called up the link for the Swedish municipal shields. Luckily, people from Norway and Sweden don't really mind when you get them mixed up and stuff.
Yeah, so. No, I think they're all pretty good about that.
Yeah, yeah. Like when I jokingly said Magnus the chess master was from Sweden, I still hear about that.
Ooh, I think the Norway ones are better.
All right, I'm having a look.
Just glancing at them. Again, there's still a bunch, but I think the Norway ones are better. Norway ones are more consistently simple.
Yeah, they're nice. I liked the Swedish ones too, but yeah.
I mean, I don't want to start another war between Norway and Sweden, but I'm going to point to Norway on their municipality shields. Don't see any bees, though.
No beehives?
I don't see any beehives.
No beehives, but better shields. Oh, hang on. He says here, so they're from Oslo, and apparently Oslo's shield was made before the rules. I have to see the Oslo.
This is the most complicated card.
Yeah, he puts at the end of his cards, greetings from Oslo, whose shield was made before the rules, so it stinks.
Oh, I see.
And he says it stinks.
Here you go. I found it for you.
Oh, yeah. And Oslo looks like it belongs on an American state flag.
I was just about to say, it does not look very far from New York Excelsior. And yeah, it's... Yeah.
Why don't Oslo... Fall into line.
Oslo, yeah. Get with the times, Oslo. I don't know what your problem is here.
Great. I think it's time for me to show you something.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't panic. I'm
instantly panicked.
This has been something that people have been wanting me to show for a long time.
Oh, God.
And, like, I've delayed it because we talk about flag design quite a lot. And we also talk about how much I love Adelaide quite a lot. And a lot of people have been pretty keen to point out that Adelaide City... has its own flag. So South Australia has a flag and Australia has a flag, but Adelaide, the city municipality, has a flag. Have you seen it yet?
I know nothing about this.
Many people have been wanting me to show you the Adelaide flag.
Okay.
I have not wanted to show you this flag.
Okay, all right.
Which probably tells you a lot.
Yeah.
So people, by popular demand, at last, I am showing Gray what the Adelaide city flag looks like.
Well, that's very sweet of Adelaide.
This is not a proud moment for me.
Oh, I didn't realize it has this border around it.
Oh, it's a dog's dinner.
There's a big red, like, English cross through the center of it. Right? Like, it's a thick red cross, which divides the flag into four. And then there's drawings in each of the four. My gut reaction was to say that they're childish, but they're too good for children. But there's this unhappy place where you need a certain amount of skill to be able to draw something poorly.
They're very clip art, aren't they?
It is clip art. The cow in particular.
And is that a sheep being hoisted by something?
I was going to ask. Yeah, so there's a ship. There's a bundle of wheat. The wheat is the best, clearly. Hmm. There's a cow that's poorly drawn. And there's a sheep that is being pulled up in the middle by something. I don't know what. And then around the whole flag is this horrible yellow and blue diagonal border. Also, at this very moment, Brady is sitting down trying to pretend like he didn't just sneak off to shush Audrey.
Audrey had wedged herself between Lulu and a heater and she was snoring very loud.
But, you know, she's very happy though.
Is the sheep being like pulled up it looks onto like, a ship or something, or like it's being...
I mean, maybe it is, but they haven't drawn the ship that it's being pulled up onto. It's just a sheep suspended in nothing by a belt and a little eye hole for a hook around it. So
it's not good.
It's not a good flag.
I'm very used to it. I used to cover the Adelaide City Council as a journalist, so I was exposed to this flag a lot. So to me, it's kind of quite acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only now, like, I suddenly have this epiphany that, no, you can't do that. That border...
The border is bad, but it's also that blue, like that particular shade of blue that so many places use. Just a bad color blue for the background.
The armorial flag of Adelaide was approved on August the 2nd, 1982.
Oh. What? Oh, God.
It replaced the de facto decoration of the coat of arms. The new flag was prepared by the College of Arms and took its symbols from the city's coat of arms. I can't really find out much more. I'll have to just... Look, anyway, people have been wanting me to reveal this to you for quite some time. Like, you know, because I'm always bigging up Adelaide. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was a chance to, you know, for you to have a swipe. So there you go. He's seen it now, people. You can stop asking.
Thank you for showing me that,
Brittany. Let us not speak of it again.
I understand this is a difficult moment for you.
Yeah. Do you want to just pick one and pass it to me? You pick one at random.
Oh.
Oh, I like this one because this has got a picture of a little cute girl on it that looks like it's being terrorized by some kind of demon.
Right, the Krampus.
The Krampus. I love the Krampus. I love myself some Krampus.
Good
handwriting too.
It is good handwriting on there. Mm-hmm. The Krampus, I squint my eye out a little bit because I don't know how much is this an actual historical thing or how much of this is a modern creation that people like to pretend is a historical thing.
Okay.
Like something about the Krampus feels a little bit constructed to me, but I don't know if that's true or not.
What does this say? Dear CGP Grey and Dr. Brady Harron, of course.
I think Brady got rid of all of the cards that didn't say doctor.
Merry Christmas from Germany, where Christmas is not always so merry, especially for naughty girls and boys who get a visit from Krampus instead of St. Nicholas. Krampus will whip the misbehaving children, stuff them into his basket, and then take them straight to the fires of hell.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So this question that's now being posed as a result is kind of like, you know, I think if we take it as fun and not imbue too much meaning in it, it could be interesting. Because this says, since you two boys have been very naughty all year, I expect your fate has already been determined. Which is why I've decided to ask you this question. And here's the question. What five objects need to be placed at the five points of a pentagram in order to summon your spirits from the beyond? So what five objects would be used to summon a grey?
Yeah, we were thinking like, what are the totemic objects?
Yeah, like horcruxes or something, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I can think of some for you already. I mean, obviously an iPhone is going to be one of yours.
Okay, well, I feel like that is unfair, but probably accurate. Yeah.
So an iPhone.
I mean, I would want a caveman club for you.
Okay, a club.
Right, that's what I would want. Instead of a club, I feel like almost a wooden toothbrush, even though this is an old Brady, yeah. But it still would be an object, right, that could summon a Brady.
For you, I would have a hot stopper.
I think a hot stopper could count for both of us.
Yeah, because you like a coffee. So
that is true.
A hot stopper.
That is true.
It's hard coming up with objects for you.
I think you need a camera, like the camera that you use to record your videos.
Yeah.
Right, like an interviewer camera.
Yeah.
Or maybe a copy of that Adelaide newspaper that you worked for, the Adelaide Observer or whatever.
Advertiser.
Yeah. I was so close.
I would have, for you, I would also have like an eye pencil, whatever they like. Just because I think they're not nice objects, those eye pencils. Like. But an eye pencil.
I think maybe you could leave one of my pentagram points blank, just symbolically, because there's not an object there.
No, a lack of objects.
A lack of object would be one of the objects. Maybe a little bee statue.
That would be great in a movie about, like, you know, trying to solve the puzzle of bringing you back, and they keep rearranging the five objects, and then it's not until some genius says, no, the key to bringing Gray back would be to leave one object out.
Right.
And then suddenly you just, like, appear from below.
Woo. I could see that as the resolution to a movie. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
I do like the idea of the five objects to summon us back, but, you know, you could have a million objects for me. That's not really fair. But
this is also like an assignment for the Tims in feedback for the show. Because also, like, the way we know each other, I think, can sometimes block these sort of thoughts sometimes. Like, it actually makes it harder.
Yeah, yeah.
And so other people might be able to think of the objects more easily. But I like that. That's a fun question.
Like, because there are things that I would think of you. Like, I could think, oh, a big black coat. Because sometimes I see you wearing a big dark coat or something. Mm-hmm. But then, like, that's not really a very fun object to be putting, like, down to summon someone on the, you know.
My glasses, right?
Yeah.
You need the glasses.
The glasses.
I think that would be a winner for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's kind of, yeah.
I like a microphone for you as the winner of the radio and podcast championship.
A CGP Grey mug would be a good one for you because I very much associate you with that. And it's got your CGP Grey logo on it. Mm-hmm. And it appears in your videos all the time and that. So it's like, that's a very you object.
Brady, how could I not think of this? White gloves of destiny.
White gloves of destiny? A pair of white
that
gloves?
That seems like it should 100% be one of your objects.
Yeah, maybe.
No, maybe. You don't like it. It's like the white gloves. No, that's so Brady.
Yeah,
I guess. Just if we could somehow put the channel objectivity on one of the corners.
But like that's a small channel, isn't it? You'd want a roll of brown paper.
But it may be a smaller channel, but it's so you. It's the most you channel that can exist.
Okay.
So you need to put objectivity on one of the corners.
A pair of white gloves. All right.
I like it.
All right, well, maybe people put together your list of five objects. But also, I'd like to see people saying what their own five objects are, because that would be an interesting little insight into how people perceive themselves. So go into our, you know, Reddit and do that. List of five objects. So, Gray, it's a new year.
It is a new year.
It's a new year. And famously, one of the reasons we're going through all these cards right now is because of Project Cyclops.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Project Cyclops, where you went offline in many ways. You've been off Twitter, been off Reddit, you weren't listening to podcasts. I wasn't really clear how long you were doing it for, but I was under the impression maybe it was going to be ending at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So as we go forward now into 2019.
Since it is a new year.
Since it is a new year. First of all, what are you doing? Is it going to continue? Are we going to start seeing tweets again? Are you going to start lurking in Reddits? Are you going to start listening to podcasts again? Do you know yet?
It was supposed to end at the end of the year. I was going to do it for the remainder of the year. And now that, as we're recording, it's January 1st, 2019, all I can say for sure is I'm not ready to come back.
You're not coming back yet?
I'm not coming back yet.
Okay.
I don't have any more plans than that. Yeah. But I figure people might want to know what's going on. Yeah. And I have no easy way to tell them. So yeah, I'm not ready to be summoned back at this point.
no five objects.
No five objects will do it.
Maybe if someone comes up with the list in the subreddit, Gray would just magically come back. Like,
yeah, maybe some spells are powerful enough. Yeah. But for the time being, I'm still staying away. And I'm not quite sure how long.
How come? Like, just because it's working?
I just don't feel ready to return. I have no better answer than that. Except it's just like the remainder of the year, which seemed like a long time when I started it, went by very fast. And I just have a feeling like whatever I'm trying to achieve with this, I haven't quite achieved yet. So I'm not ready to cut it what now seems short. I'm going to let it run for a little while longer. I don't know how much longer.
I remember when you started it, it felt like one of the real things you were trying to achieve was somehow improving or regaining like your attention span and your ability to concentrate. Have you noticed that changing? Can you read for longer periods of time now? Like, are you feeling a healing?
I can say, yeah, that is one of the things that I feel like I've noticed a difference with, that I've noticed a difference in my work, particularly with like reading and researching for videos, that I'm able to do it for much longer stretches of time. And there's a particular feeling of concentration that's hard to articulate, but yeah, that feels like it's returned or it's back to a large extent. So
is that why you want to continue, or is there other reasons?
That's part of it. That's part of the reason that I want to continue, is that in some sense I can say it's been successful, but it still feels like that success is maybe a little bit fragile. And so coming back when it feels like it's too soon to come back, just because like, oh, past me set a date, like I don't really care what past me had to say about anything. And so it's like, no, I'm not going to come back yet. If people out there were waiting until January 1st to tell me something, yeah. Sorry, you have to wait a while longer.
Yeah, hopefully you sent a Christmas card, because that was your chance.
That's exactly it. That's why we're going through these cards.
Is there anything you're missing about it?
The thing that I miss, and which is kind of these Christmas cards, is some level of feedback and interaction. Like, there have been a number of times where I've thought like, oh, it would be useful to be able to reach out to the audience for something, or to just have a sense of how things have gone. But overall, the benefits outweigh. So I'm going to stay away for a little bit. I'm scheming about how to come back in a gradual sense in the future, but it's all very vague right now.
What about like Tuesday tweets with Gray? And it's like, that's the only day you tweet.
Maybe in the future. Tuesday tweets is not a bad idea.
No. Is there anything about the process that like has surprised you? In a way that it's harder than you thought, easier than you thought, you've liked more than you thought? Like, was anything unexpected, or has what has happened been exactly what you anticipated?
I think the thing that's unexpected is after maybe 2 months, maybe 2.5 months, it just felt like everything was kind of the same. It wasn't harder. It was just, oh, this stuff is not a part of my life anymore. And so I just don't often think about it. And so I don't think it would be harder to do a year versus 6 months versus 4 months. Like, right. I think at some point you just hit a threshold where you just kind of forget about it and it's not part of your life. And it's just like, oh, this is not a thing that I'm involved in anymore. So I think that's been a surprise. I might have expected to be really itchy to get back. And I'm shocked that as the year has come to an end, it's mostly been a feeling of dread of like, oh, I don't want to go back. And I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing because I don't feel like it's quite done yet. And it would feel silly to cut it short sooner than I think it needs to be. But I don't know how long it's going to be.
Does it ever make you feel silly that it ever was such a big deal in the first place?
What do you mean by such a big deal?
There was a time when, you know, being on Hacker News and Reddit was... you gave a lot of your time to it. You gave a lot of your brain space to it. Hanging out on Twitter, you gave a lot of time and your brain space to. Now that you're not doing it and it's almost like it doesn't exist, do you think, bloody hell, what an idiot. Why was I giving it so much in the first place? What a waste of my time.
No, it doesn't feel that way because there is some value as a person who makes things for the internet to be part of the internet. And there is some time horizon where I feel like if I did this indefinitely, it would eventually become more net negative than net positive. Like if I didn't go on the internet for 3 years, I think at that point I would just be so disconnected that it would be like making things in a total vacuum. You need to have some kind of connection with the world. So no, I don't feel like it was silly. And I also just like love meme culture and I love a kind of crazy Wild West cowboyness of the internet. There's something about that that just like really lines up well with my personality. So I don't feel like it was silly. But that's a different question from, is stepping away for a while net positive? And I still feel like I'm in net positive territory.
Has there been much lobbying for you to come back that you've been exposed to? Like whether it's from friends and stuff, like people going, come on, Gray, come back on Twitter and Instagram. It's good fun. Or do people not talk to you about it? Or do people say, this is brilliant, you should keep doing it?
I would say the near universal thing from colleagues and friends who work in the business is, one, intense interest. And two, a desire that they could do it. But everybody has some reason why they say they can't do it, even though, with rare exception, I don't think they're right. I think many of like friends and colleagues in the industry dramatically overestimate how much they need to be online as part of their work. But no, most people are very interested. I can say no one has mounted a lobbying campaign for Twitter is a great idea to spend more of your time on. Right. No, like no one has even brought that up as an argument.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. I thought you were going to announce to the world you're back and you've just like gone nut.
No, I'm not back.
If I had to put money on when you'll be back, what should I bet on? If like bookmakers were taking bets, like June?
What, are you looking for insider information about how to take bets on the very active Hello Internet betting market?
Yeah. Like, because you say it can't be 3 years, right?
Right.
And zero time was not satisfactory to you. 3 years is too much. So I'm guessing 18 months is the smart bet. When would 18 months be? That would be like the start. This would be about this time next year.
I guess so. If that's where you want to place your bet. This suddenly feels like one of those baby betting pools of like, what's the arrival date?
Yeah. All right. There you go. You heard it here first. Well, where else were you going to hear it?
All right, well, happy New Year's Day to you, Brady.
Yes, yes. And like, well, let's not talk about New Year's resolutions.
And New Year's resolutions are dumb anyway. Well, I'm going home and I'll come back and talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, it was lovely here in Dover, wasn't it?
Wait, where are we?
Dover, okay. In Delaware.
Delaware. Oh, Delaware, not Dover, England. Okay.
No, no.
Of course not.
That was my whole joke because we didn't say the capital of Dover the first time.
Right. No, it was a very good joke, Brady.
Wasted on you.